this show brought to you by the Entertainment Radio Network and presented in part by Craftsman. Trust in your hands. Here's your host.
Hey, everybody. It's Alan Taylor. This is Stock Car Radio, your source for all things motorsports, presented in part by Motorsport.com. And the editor-in-chief is here joining us now, Stephen Cole Smith. Stephen, it is it's time to talk motorsports, brother. How you doing?
I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
Rock and roll. Where do we start? NASCAR.
People are still buzzing about Danica. I mean, she gets a seventh place finish last week, and you would think she had, won the Kentucky Derby without a horse. It's kind of amazing. She did drive a good race. They gave her a good car. But, it's amazing that, people forget who won and just want to talk about Danica's seventh place finish. I guess she could have conceivably won, but she didn't. And this weekend we're at Charlotte. Next weekend we're really at Charlotte with a 600. So I guess we'll see what she's really made of, or this is just one of those lucky, even a squirrel finds a nut once in a while breaks.
Ooh, well, I wonder what it would be like if she was just some ugly, homely looking gal rather than a kind of a cute little, I would call her a Manx a little bit. Everybody, you kind of look at her and she just kind of looks like.
Oh, Manx or a Minx?
Minx? Manx.
A Manx is a cat with no tail. I've got one sitting right here, and she doesn't look like Danica.
You've got one right on your desk.
It's like she just raised her eyes like, I think that's a compliment. But, you're right. We've had drivers like that. We had Sarah Fisher, who's, these are not unattractive, but, we've had Jennifer Jo Cobb. We've had quite a few NASCAR drivers that are female and easy on the eyes, but not many of them pose in bikinis. And
right.
That's something Danica's done. And let's face it, it was as if it's helped her career. I don't know. Has it helped her profile and her T-shirt sales? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah. The best all-time Sprint Cup result for a female driver still belongs to Sarah Christian. And she finished fifth in a 1949 race.
Yeah, Sarah's not racing anymore. In fact,
nope.
Sarah's not doing anything right now.
Probably not.
I think there may have been. There were races back then. They had three or four female drivers in some of those early races. So if you talk about moving forward, I did that story when Danica came out. I was counting up the number of females they had, in the late 40s, early 50s. And, man, there were a lot of them. They didn't win any races, but they were out there. So, there was a lot of people that paved the way to make Danica able to do what she's able to do now. Coming up shortly, the Sprint All-Star Race
at Charlotte,
which is, Charlotte likes to stretch it out. It's always annoyed Bill France, the original Bill France, that the Indy 500 it always will eclipse any of his races, including Daytona. So Charlotte stretches out the their May calendar just the way Indy does. So they've got the showdown, the All-Star Race, no points but a lot of money tonight, and then next weekend they'll start kicking in with stuff for the actual Memorial Day race.
All right, I'm on the right page now. NASCAR's Camping World Truck Series race runs also tonight, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah, let's see here. The showdown has been moved to Friday. All-Star Sprint Showdown early entry lists for the weekends are out. The showdown has been moved to Friday this year to increase action for fans.
The showdown was the race that qualifies people for the Sprint All-Star Race. That's tonight. Guys that didn't get in based on, and I always forget, a poll or a win or the fan vote, but people that didn't get in, if they do well, I think it's the top two in the race Friday night. Last night, they get in the race tonight. But, if they've got to get in like that, it's pretty unlikely they're going to beat a Jimmy Johnson or a Jeff Gordon or any of the other guys that are there. Without it getting the fans to vote them in. So, it's amazing. There's been people trying to lobby on the Internet all week long for their drivers or for drivers themselves. One driver even gave away a Toyota Camry if you would vote for him to get into the Sprint All-Star Race.
So, okay.
Bribery going on to actually make the race tonight, because there is a lot of money involved and a lot of TV time.
That's what it is. Okay, so far I've got a list here. Good Lord, am I off track this week. Hendrick Motorsports Number 48, Jimmy Johnson. Number 5, Casey Kane. Number 24, Jeff Gordon. Number 88, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Roush Fenway Racing, Carl Edwards, Greg Biffle, Joe Gibbs Racing, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Stuart Haas Racing, Kevin Harvick, Tony Stewart, Kurt Busch, Penske, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano. Front row motorsports, listed in the back row, David Reagan.
Well, David did win a race last year.
No, I'm joking. Yeah. Furniture row racing for the guys that are couch potato racing, Martin Truex Jr., Michael Waltrip Racing, Brian Vickers, Richard Childress Racing, Ryan Newman, and last is Chip Ganassi Racing, Jamie McMurray.
Yeah, guys like Ryan Newman and McMurray, if how you've done in the race or in NASCAR in past years can get you in. It's a mathematical formula I don't understand, which is why I got into journalism. But the bottom line is there's no points. There's plenty of time to fix your car before the 600. So generally the race tonight is sort of a take no prisoners. And if somebody really annoys you and you know you're not going to win, there may be a little payback here and there.
All right, hang tight. I'm going to get my notes straightened out here. What in the heck is going on? Who did these notes for me? I'm Alan Taylor with the editor-in-chief of motorsport.com. It's a good thing you're there to straighten me out, bro.
Good job.
Stephen Cole Smith. We'll be right back. It is Stock Car Radio. It's time to streamline your tools with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt cordless system. One C3 battery helps your tool work longer and powers over 30 different tools like the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt hammer drill. The compact hammer drill pushes out up to 515 inch-pounds of torque to handle even your toughest drilling and driving projects. A Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck and an LED work light makes this hammer drill durable and versatile. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. All right, I have got my notes back together. God bless the producers that give you 50 pages of information to sift through. And when you don't get to watch the race, you're like a bat. You're blind. But here is a good piece of information. You're listening to Stock Car Radio. Stephen Cole Smith on the line for Motorsport.com. He's the editor-in-chief. Did you know that cops pulled over Kyle Busch for speeding and disrespectful attitude? Steve, did you know that?
I heard that happened, but it's amazing. I haven't read the story except the headline, but a disrespectful attitude from one of the Bushes? I just can't imagine that's true.
Busch was ticketed for going 60 in a 45 when he was stopped on April 29th at 7:45 Eastern Time while driving through northeast suburban Charlotte. This is at least the third traffic citation Busch has received in the last 8 years. Kyle Busch was cited for speeding going 128 in a 45 zone 3 years ago. In 2006, he was cited for reckless driving in Richmond, Virginia after chirping his tires, big deal, while exiting a gas station. Come on, how many times have I done that? And you were a cop. You should know about that.
That's true, but I mean, I probably somebody was not an M&M's or a Toyota fan, some cop that pulled him over. I mean, does it say what he was disrespectful about? I mean, was he just being Kyle Busch and I'm too busy to deal with this crap right now? What did he say?
Let's see. Here we go. North Carolina Highway Patrol trooper who issued the speeding ticket from above, let's see here, made sure to point out that Bush's disrespectful attitude was mentioned on the citation. Bush reportedly told the trooper that he thought the speed was 55, according to the state trooper here. No court date has been announced, and Busch has thus far refused to comment on the incident. 60 and a 45. I do that daily.
I have never done that. I would never exceed the speed limit ever, says the guy whose car insurance is up for renewal in about a week. I would not even think about it.
You know, I was at a Starbucks getting coffee the other day, and this cop comes in, and I had just passed... I have a radar detector, and believe me, I drive a lot. You know, my other show I do is called The Drive. So right. I get passed by a cop that was doing pretty high speeds. And I was thinking to myself, someone's getting in trouble. And sure enough, not too far up the road, I see him pull over, run out in the middle of this crazy traffic and grab, you know, something had fallen out of the back of a truck, right?
I thought you were going to say the Chihuahua. Didn't you guys have a Chihuahua that shut down the whole L.A. freeway like a few days ago?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty sad. But anyway, yeah. but anyway, so the guy, you know, I thought that was pretty brave. He didn't even have I don't know why, but he didn't even have his emergency lights on. He just kind of was, you know, risking his life. But
wow,
I see him a little while later. I'm getting coffee and he comes in and he's standing there next to me. So, I have to talk. And I say, why didn't you put your lights on? He goes, I figured I could just run out and grab it. I said, yeah, but still, I mean, everybody out there on Central California out on I-5 is going 85, 90 miles an hour. So it might have been a good idea to let him know there's something going on. Here I am giving the cop advice, right?
And I tell you, he doesn't live in Florida because 20 miles from my house about a week or two ago, and not to bring it down, there was a Highway Patrol officer, a 30-year-old female, whose fiancé was going to ask her to marry him that night, who got killed when she was at a traffic stop. A truck went out of control, killed her and the wrecker driver and the Good Samaritan. So, man, I would ask this guy to reconsider if he's listening. It doesn't take much effort to turn those lights on, and it's going to help you a little bit.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you the rest of the story on the other side. But, yeah, that's unfortunate. Anyway, I'll finish telling you real quick. I said to him, by the way, how fast can I go out there on the highway? He says, I wouldn't go more than 80, and it's 70-mile-an-hour speed limit listed, right? And I looked at him and smiled. I go, all right, that's good. So 10 over, I guess, is acceptable.
That's generally it, yeah, 10 over, unless it's the day before quota to turn in your ticket.
All right, hang tight. It is Stock Car Radio. Steve and I will be right back.
Bridgestone presents famous moments in Bridgestone tires. Today's episode, The Lullaby.
It was a long ride home. Little Grayson was finally napping after 19 viewings of McDoodle the Strudel-shaped poodle when a rough road ahead sign appeared. A loud, bumpy ride could have stirred little Grayson. Thankfully, his parents had Bridgestone Turanza tires, engineered for quiet, comfortable driving. So Bridgestone not only delivered performance, it kept McDoodle from delivering another.
Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. To learn more about Turanza's smooth, quiet ride, visit BridgestoneTire.com.
Well, it is Stock Car Radio. Our show is brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make. Appreciate Craftsman for sponsoring the show. I'm Alan Taylor with Stephen Cole Smith, editor-in-chief of motorsport.com. And Steve, you know, producer just got done saying, I didn't know Steve was a police officer. What did you do?
Yeah, I was a police officer in Dallas, Texas for a while, and then a reserve police officer there, a total for 8.5 years. And you learn a lot like that. And we had talked a little bit, I'd mentioned something about quotas, and I would say the quotas are illegal in practically every state that I know of, because if it's the end of the month and you get a speeding ticket, you can always go to court and say, here's a copy of the rule where this officer has a quota of X number of tickets for the month, and I was caught only because he has to meet his quota. So that's illegal, but activity is not. You're expected to maintain a level of activity every month, and you might get like 2 points for a ticket or 3 points if you pull over a guy like Alan Taylor or Kyle Busch and they've got an attitude.
And a brownie button.
Yeah, so while it's not technically a quota, generally, you know, either if these guys go biweekly, the middle of the month or the end of the month, not the best time to speed, because you might, you know, the last day of the month, you might see some guys out there wanting to increase their activity level just a little bit, because, it probably won't affect your salary, but it might affect your days off, promotions, whether you want to transfer. It just makes it look better. So I know that has nothing to do with racing, at least legal racing, but I've always found that to be some pretty good advice.
Well, but, you know, remember, this whole conversation started out at the beginning of the segment, last segment of, who was it?
Kyle Busch getting
pulled over for speeding. So I always am glad to hear that these guys are not wimps out on the highway. Jackie Stewart. Remember Jackie Stewart?
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to him one time, and I was sitting next to him. I said, what do you drive? He says, I don't. I go, what? He goes, I don't drive. There's people that are crazy on the road. He doesn't drive. He only drives on the racetrack.
Jeez. Well, you remember Kurt Busch was pulled over years ago I think it was in Phoenix, and his then wife, I think, was real drunk, and it, essentially his attitude there is what got him thrown off the Roush team the first time.
Yeah.
So the Bush boys not happy to see the revolving lights in the back of the window for those guys.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, let's segue to driving fast on the racetrack. The Indy 500 is coming up, and I believe they're getting that all going, right?
Yeah, and it's weird. This is the weird month of May, especially because we had an IndyCar race last weekend on the road course. Simon Pagenaud won, although on Wednesday, the IndyCar guys put out some penalties, and they said Pagenaud's had some problem with one of the spoilers on his car and fined him $1,000. They fined Chevrolet for doing something they weren't supposed to do and fined Penske for something they weren't supposed to do, but they didn't take any points or any wins away. So, you know, there's two races at Indy this year. We've got the road course race that's already happened, and it was a pretty good race last week, except, you know, they tried that standing start, and pole sitter Sebastian Saavedra didn't get going, so it was absolute carnage. But by the time the race was over, there was some, a little bit processional, but there was some pretty good stuff going on. And then your segue immediately, I mean, when I say immediately, I mean the next day they go into practice for the Indy 500, which, you know, still the biggest race in the world as far as I'm concerned, hoping to be there, planning to be there, and can't wait to go because, I tell you, as cynical as a guy like you and I are, I know you've been, but when you're out there and Jim Nabors is singing and Florence Henderson shows up, the balloons go off, and there's a 250,000 people, you feel pretty damn proud to be an American.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, there's just no two ways about it. If you've never been to the Indy 500, don't think you see it on television and get a feel for what it's like, because that's one race you really have to be at sometime before you die if you're a race car fan.
You know what? I have been fortunate enough to go for the last number of years, and when those jets fly over and when they're singing the national anthem, when you see all the military, a lot of military there. You're right. There's just something in the air. There's a patriotic feel that it's and racing. I mean, what's more American than racing cars?
I know, and for some reason it feels genuine. Like, yeah, it's not unusual to go to an event. I remember going to one of the big bass tournaments with Toyota, and, you know, they had the obligatory Lee Greenwood singing in the Coliseum and our fighting men and women, and it all felt like they were reading from a script. But for some reason at Indy, the fact that they've been doing it so long and so well, you know, it's just got a really genuine, unalloyed feel to it. And I love Indy, and I hope I'm able to go back for a long time, because Indy 500 is a race that I'm really proud that I've been a tiny part of. I got to drive the pace car to the pace car once. I was before in front of Morgan Freeman. And
just driving
a few dignitaries around in front of Morgan Freeman, who was actually the pace car driver, I felt like I was, you know, somebody. And God knows that's not the case.
I remember the last year of Oldsmobile, and they had a whole classic grouping of original pace cars.
Yeah, and I think so.
I got to drive the year I was born, a 1960 Olds convertible pace car.
Whoa.
On that, you know, that was the last year, I believe, the last year of Oldsmobile. And I have that picture on my wall. So it's just one of those things. All right, we got to take another little break. And I do want to talk about Indy, because I'm going to be there. Are you going to be able to go?
As far as I know, I'm going to be there.
Okay, well, so then we should do some radio there. But
excellent.
Do you know Buddy Lazier, right?
Yeah.
He's a 1996 Indy 500 champ. Do you know how old he is now?
He's 73 years old.
No, he's not. He's 46.
Is that all? Really?
Yeah.
He was like 12 when he won that race. I was there. I remember that race.
All right, hang tight. We're going to talk about him and his return. And what he's got to say about kind of the generation gap. We'll take a break. You're listening to Stock Car Radio. It's presented in part by Motorsport.com. Also, thanks to Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make. We'll be right back. Alan Taylor here, and I wanted to share the news with you about the new Haynes Manuals Online. They're the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information, and they now offer online manuals that are formatted to fit all electronic devices. With Haynes Manuals Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual, but with so many added features that help you get the job done right. I ordered one for my car and access it right through my tablet. There are now over 180 Haynes Manuals Online available, covering cars, trucks, and motorcycles. You can order yours today at Haynes.com. listening to your source for all things motorsports, what's happening now, what happened last week, and what's happening next week or two. It's Stock Car Radio. Brought to you by Motorsport.com. The editor-in-chief is Stephen Cole Smith. I'm Alan Taylor. We're talking a little bit about the Indy 500. So I was at the, let me think now. I was, where? What car show I was at? Vail. I was at the Vail Concours. And I guess Buddy Lazier and his family live in Vail, Colorado.
Yeah, he's a Colorado guy.
Yeah. And there he was, and we were talking a little bit about you know, him and racing and what have you. He's 46 years old now, and it says, come back as a 40-something and get the experience. And I guess, you know, over the last 25 years since he was racing the way he used to, you know, a lot has changed, obviously. But he's back at it, and he's going to be at the Indy 500.
Well, you know, it's not... You know, I know you've been around the track, and I have too, and it seems narrow, and it seems really fast, and it is, but a lot of people tell me it's by far the easiest IndyCar race to drive, that, you know, it's especially if you're out there by yourself. But, I mean, that's one reason we've seen people like Danica Patrick on her very first year almost get out there and win it, and while you've got guys like Kurt Busch thinking that he's got a shot at it, even though he's never driven an IndyCar in any race. This is not a guy that's going to Long Beach, you know, that's trying an IndyCar for the first time when you have to go left and right, and three guys crowd into a little turn, and one of them ends up upside down in the fountain. You know, the Indy 500 is a race that if you keep your nose clean and you don't screw up pit stops, if you're on the lead lap in the last, you know, 50 miles, you probably got a shot at winning, because so many weird things, you've seen it, so many weird things happen at the Indy 500. People run out of gas. Poor Hildebrand a couple of years ago, you know, when Dan Weldon won his last race,
right,
you know, hits the wall when he can see the checkered flag.
Right.
I mean, it's a race that you just never know what's going to happen. But as far as degree of difficulty, I think pretty much any IndyCar driver would tell you that physically it's probably the easiest track to drive. But emotionally, you know, you get so keyed up and so wound up because, you know, Danica will tell you this. She and I have talked about it. That she didn't win because she was told to conserve fuel, and then when she got in, she found out she had plenty of fuel and conceivably could have won it, and she still kicks herself, because how many times do you have a chance to win the Indy 500? I mean, you can say that you've got all these chances, but look, Mario Andretti did it for how many years? He has won. Michael Andretti's got none. Marco Andretti's got none.
Right.
These guys keep coming back, and they keep missing out on the biggest race of the world.
So things are getting going, because I notice on Facebook you see a lot of the auto manufacturers already starting to load in over there.
Yeah, there's, you know, the fact that they're there for the whole month. I mean, they've already been there for a week since they had the race last weekend. And I'm looking at the entry list, and it's pretty healthy. A lot of guys have, you know, two or three cars, like Marco Andretti's got the 25 and the 25T. You know, he'll take them both out there. If he wrecks one, or if one's faster than the other, then suddenly that narrows down to just one car. And then, of course, we've got bump day, where a guy like Jack Hawksworth has one car. If he qualifies it, keeps his nose clean, then, you know, the guys that have that car, the Kerr Bagaginian guys, don't have a lot of money. And just starting the Indy 500 pays about $250,000. So that desperate last chance to try to make the race is one of the things that always makes Indy so scary and so exciting, if you've got more than 33 cars. And I think we do, but we never know until they actually line up for qualifying to see how many people are going to try to make the 33-car race.
It's interesting to say, you know, that just to start the race pays about $250,000. And I don't know how they equate that. Is it equated to, as far as they come up with the, you know, the prize money, to fans plus television plus, you know, this is the biggest one-day sporting event in the world, is it not?
Yeah, a lot of it's broadcast rights. I mean, ABC pays a fortune for that one day. I mean, basically they pay for that, and then you know, the whole rest of the IndyCar season is a struggle for IndyCar to get their stuff on television. But everybody wants the Indy 500. You know, and it's an amazing race in the sense that you win it once and your career is pretty well made. You're an IndyCar 500. You're an Indy 500 winner. We wouldn't be talking about a guy like Buddy Lazier had he not done that. And he's back this year in the 91 car, only has one Chevrolet Power, but a guy like him, and the fact he only has have essentially one chassis and two engines, Chevrolet and Honda. It's not a spec racing series, but it's fairly close, meaning that even though you've got a Team Penske out there with Montoya and Castro Neves and some of the other guys, they probably have a tiny bit better chance than a guy like Buddy Lazier does. But, you know, if something goes wrong with those cars, if nothing goes wrong with Buddy Lazier, you can see him, or you can see a Jack Villeneuve, or you can see an Oriol Servia actually win the race. And to me, that's always the fun part, is when a guy like Dan Weldon won in just a one-shot, his second race right before, you know, the year that he got killed out in Las Vegas. The fact that he and Brian Hurd and those guys were able to win in a car that nobody took seriously, I think, is one of the great stories of the Indy 500.
Mm. You know, I remember it was just when I'm sitting here, these things flash. One time I was with Mr. Indy 500, Andy Granatelli, and his whole family, and I had gone up to his suite. And we had, like, Miss America with us or something, you know.
Wow.
You know me, I'm Forrest Gump. I don't know how I end up with these places, right? And I'm sitting there kind of watching this whole thing, thinking to myself, you know, in so many people's eyes, you know, that guy's kind of like, you know, I don't know. He's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know.
I mean,
and he was just huge. And so I became
in
friendly.
In every sense of the word. Yeah.
I mean, literally. I became friendly with him, and he was just a really nice, talkative guy. Loved to talk, and I started having him on my radio shows and throughout the years for, like, I don't know, it's been 20 years. And I got to tell you, the guy he's one of those guys that was special, you know, even though, we're all weird in our own ways, right?
Yeah.
But he was just kind of a special guy, and I have so many fond memories of guys like him, you know, And it's sad. I think we lost him just this year, wasn't it?
Not long ago. I mean, he was an amazing guy. You know, to most people, he was a cartoon. He's big,
right.
Andy Granatelli dressed in the STP costume.
Right.
Kisses Mario Andretti when they win. But you sit in and talk to him like you and I have. And I remember me and Gene Jennings, the editor of Automobile, were there one year. And we talked after he died and remembered that we don't even remember what the race was, whether, you know, what Indy car, or maybe it was a Formula One race. But we were sitting there in Andy Granatelli's suite, and he was telling stories. And we were, you know, he was facing the track, and our backs were to the track because we were so fascinated in what this guy was saying. Amazing guy. And that's only Indy can create a guy like Andy Granatelli. And you're right. It's such a global event. I'm looking at the entry list now. Colombia, Brazil, Canada, California, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, France, Japan, Ohio, Spain, England. I mean, that's down to car number 19. I mean, if you win this race, you know, it's big everywhere, not just in the U.S., not just in Indiana.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Another character is A.J. Foyt.
Absolutely.
Did a couple of things with him. Boy, that guy's opinionated. Hang tight. We'll talk a little more Indy talk on the other side. Steve and I will both be at the Indianapolis 500 doing some live radio there. So keep an eye out for that. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Stock Car Radio, your source for all things motorsports, and online, motorsport.com. Steve's the editor-in-chief. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Heavy metal thunder, racing with the wind.
Is your favorite driving music on your Android phone? Do you or a friend have an iPad or an iPhone? Well, now you can sync all of them to your car with ease with Kenwood, the number one mobile electronics brand in the country. With Kenwood, you can connect either your iPhone or Android smartphone and control everything by touchscreen. Learn more by visiting liveconnecteddriveconnected.com and to find a Kenwood dealer near you. You're listening to Stock Car Radio. Thanks for joining us. We hope you're having a good day. If you're interested in motorsports and you want more than just gibberish like we're talking about here, you can find all the information and all the photos, videos, and more at motorsport.com. But I happen to like the gibberish that we talk about because it's a lot of reminiscing of racing and all the fun stuff we do. Steve, Indy 500, Carburation Day. What happened?
Absolutely. And it's just, that's one of the things that made poor Jack Roush so upset, because his real claim to fame in NASCAR was he carried a screwdriver in his back pocket, and he would open the hood of all the stock cars that he had, and he would make that final carburetor adjustment. And poor Jack had to give up the screwdriver when NASCAR finally went to fuel injection. And man, that was like, for NASCAR, that was like when everybody else finally went to, you know, radial tires and halogen headlights for those guys to go for, you know, fuel injected. But right. The Indy's been fuel injected for years, but they still call it Carburation Day. It's still one of those wonderful old things that they, I mean, fuel injection day doesn't sound that exciting, but Carburation Day, I mean, the fact that probably anybody under 30 would have to explain, like, what a carburetor is, like a can of oil. You know, oil hasn't always come in a plastic bottle like this. And then all of a sudden you feel like, you know, Buddy Lazier talking about the generation gap. Well, I got a generation gap with Buddy Lazier.
Yeah,
so
right.
How do you think I feel? But, I mean, Indy's got 64 cars entered right now. They all use the same chassis, the same Dallara chassis, the same Firestone tires. They all use either the Honda or the Chevrolet engine, so not a lot of variables. With 64 cars, though, I mean, that's two cars pretty much for practically every driver entered. You know, Charlie Kimball's got two, Lazier's only got one, but even Pippa Mann has got two cars with Dale Coyne. So it's a very good chance we'll have somebody on bump day trying to qualify one of these T-cars, which is a backup car, and we will have some drama on the very last day. Hopefully it won't be messed up like it has been a year or two past by the weather. So, you know, I'm looking for bump day in Indy is one of the most exciting days in motorsports to see who makes the field and who doesn't. Because I remember talking to Richie Hearn, one of the guys that was, he was a rookie of the year there, but he was never one of those guys that really made it. He always had to struggle. And he was talking about jumping in a car you've never even seen before and going out and trying to run 225 miles an hour on the edge in a car that has not run that fast all week long. And just what a puckering experience that is. And to me, that separates the men and the women who are much more impressive than most men from the little boys like me who just sit there and bite their fingernails and hope that everybody makes it through.
There you go. By the way, our show is brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. And Bridgestone also is Firestone, and we're going to be at the Firestone Garage in Gasoline Alley doing our show, and where I've been for the last number of years. Amazing, the tires and the technology, and they are the official tire of the Indy 500. All the race cars have Firestone tires.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, so much rides on those tires, literally. I mean, that's not a pun. I mean, the guy that's, you know, doing 225 going into a corner and knowing that one tiny cut or puncture can end it all right there. I mean, I really am so impressed with companies like Firestone and Goodyear and Michelin, because when they do a great job at a track, nobody says, you know, what a fantastic job Firestone did at the Indy 500. But as soon as a guy blows a tire coming to the checkered flag, you know, they get slammed for everything in the world. Even if he ran over a can opener and popped his tire, it's right. Still a Firestone tire. So I don't know why any company would want to put themselves at that kind of risk when it comes to bad publicity. But thank God for companies like Firestone and Goodyear and Hoosier and Michelin and all those guys that support motorsports of all kind, because without them, there would be no way to race. If you just had people go out and buy tires from anybody, you know, there'd be no way that you could level the field to the point where you had any idea who was going to win and who was going to finish last.
Exactly, and I think it's a brilliant idea that they have one manufacturer supplying all the tires. They lease these tires, is that correct?
I think they do, yeah. I mean, you remember the debacle they had when Hoosier, and I love Hoosier and Bob Newton, those guys, they're fantastic. But when they tried to come into NASCAR years ago, that was the year we lost Neil Bonnet and Rodney Orr at the Daytona race, and a lot of people, it turned out that it wasn't because of the Hoosier tires, but when you've got a tire manufacturer competing against another tire manufacturer, it's kind of a scary thing. And, of course, we've got that in sports car racing. We've got that in – we'll see that at Le Mans because – if everybody is running the same tire, the tire manufacturer can afford to make a really strong tire. He doesn't have to worry about whether it's one-tenth of a second faster than the next guy's tire,
right,
which might be a little bit softer, but if it's a little bit softer, it might wear out quicker. It might be a little more dangerous. So, I don't like spec racing. I don't like cars to be all the same, but I don't mind one tire series that much because it just seems like that's one thing that you can sort of guarantee that there's going to be a good tire under all these guys, and then they can just let the fire fly after that. But at least they know they're going to be on some good rubber.
Right. Well, and it's funny, these tires, they are so sticky. It's you put your hand on it, your hand's like when you pull it off.
Oh, man. And seeing these guys change them after a race where they're like 800 degrees, amazing.
All right, we'll come back and we'll keep you informed about Indy, but we'll come back, talk a little NHRA, and I got to tell you, I cannot wait for the Indy 500, so I'll get that on my head. Now we'll change straight line. Let's go to NHRA. It is Stock Car Radio, your source for all things motorsports. We'll be right back. Are you stressed, depressed, isolated, or even angry? There's no need to struggle alone in the darkness anymore. Patriot Outreach is an organization lending support to our warriors, veterans, and their families who suffer from the effects of post-war trauma and stress. U.S. Army's Colonel Tony Monaco discovered a very private, simple, non-intrusive tool that's helped him immensely in overcoming extreme adversities, and it can help you too. It's confidential, it's effective, and it's powerful. To learn more, go to patriotoutreach.org and let the healing begin. Stock Car Radio is here because of our friends at Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction and exhibition. Don't forget, they have some drag racing at Hot August Nights, where the next Barrett Jackson will be held in Reno, Nevada, the first weekend of August. Barrett Jackson, barrettjackson.com for more information. And they do. They have some very cool activities like some drag racing, so bring out.
And I want to come to that. I love Reno.
Oh, you should come.
And that's just about the anniversary. You were there, I think, when we did this, the first show, or at least second or third show of this. So
yeah. Oh, that's right. That's funny. All right. So now let's talk a little bit about, and we'll talk Hot August Nights whenever you're ready.
Cool.
We'll get you out there. NHRA. I know that there was the chance to get that 100th win for a female driver. How'd it go?
You know, it's well, we don't know yet. We'll know tomorrow, and I'll be there to tell you about it.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
I'm heading up to Atlanta here shortly. It's funny, we were talking about Danica and Sarah Christian in NASCAR, but, you know, NHRA is looking at 99 wins right now by a female pro driver, and this isn't a win by a female in a car down the road at a little drag strip. This is a pro series win. This is when they're racing heads up again. There's no powder puff here. These are all women and all men racing against each other. And 99 times a woman has come out on top. And this weekend, we very easily could see the 100th win, which, you know, we talked to Erica, just who had won the Pro Stock race the last time they were out in Houston, I think, a couple of weeks ago. She'll be there. We've got, looking at the entry list now, Brittany Force.
About, Erica Ender-Stevens.
Erica Ender-Stevens, yeah.
I didn't realize, and I was thinking there for a minute, that maybe the race was last week, but right, it is this weekend.
Yeah, you know, looking down, we've got Brittany Force is John Force's daughter in Top Fuel. We've got in Funny Car, we've got Alexis DeGioia, who's already won a race this year. We've got Courtney Force. They've got in Pro Stock, we've got Erica. In Pro Stock Motorcycle, that's probably where we've got the best chance because Motorcycle only runs a few times compared to the other guys. They haven't run, I think, since Gainesville, which was in March. Maybe they've run once, but there's a lot of female drivers. And, of course, the winningest female driver in NHRA is Angel Sealing, or Angel Sampi, depending on her married name, which is Sampi right now, out of New Orleans. So we got a story on her in motorsport.com, and she's got, I think, 41 motorcycle wins, which is pretty amazing. But there's Elvira Carlson will be in the field for motorcycles. Katie Sullivan will be there. I think grand total, Angie Smith, I guess that's pretty much all. I think there's 7 or 8 women that could legitimately win the 100 this week. And, of course, odds are against it. And the fact that I'll be there to document it means that it won't happen because nothing ever happens, so I'm actually there. But I would love to see the 100th win by a woman racer. And I don't care who it is. My friends over at John Force Racing, Elon Warner, their PR guy, is a good friend of mine. He said that do not discount the Force girls because they are really pulling out the stops. They know what it takes and how important it would be to sponsors and to reputation and to headlines and you know what it would mean to be the 100th female driver. And I don't think any female driver is going to spare the expense or spare the horsepower this weekend. They're going to go for it because there's only going to be one 100th winner.
Do you know, we've been experiencing on the West Coast an incredible heat wave. And I know that East Coast and kind of Midwest got hit by a lot of rain. What's the weather supposed to be like tomorrow?
I think it's supposed to be pretty warm. You know, I think the weather's looking pretty good right now. It hasn't been as hot out here compared to what you guys have. I mean, it has, but it's not unseasonably hot. But yeah, I know you guys have pretty much had to turn the air conditioner on a little early, even up where you live, haven't you?
Yeah, no, it's been like 100 degrees in Oregon, California, even San Francisco, which is
wow. We haven't come close to that here in Florida, even where I live.
Yeah, they say the coldest winter they ever experienced was a July 4th in San Francisco. That's the old saying, you know. And I mean, to be 100 degrees, they actually earlier this week they were saying, you know, because a lot of people don't even have air conditioning in their homes, to go shopping, go to a movie, it was like, really? San Francisco?
Wow.
You know, yeah. So
when I went to Car and Driver and moved to Michigan, people told me I wouldn't need air conditioning. Well, they were lying. If I was at the North Pole, I would need air conditioning because I've always had it. And I never put central air in the house we had in Michigan. I just had a nice window unit in the bedroom. And I tell you, me, my wife, our cats, our dogs, on hot days, we lived in the bedroom. Like, I'd run down, get a pizza, run back up the stairs, and we would just live in the bedroom because it was the only part of the house that was under 85 degrees. I got to have my AC.
You are too funny. All right, well, listen, you're going to be out at the race, out at the NHRA race, and you have a good time. Be careful out there. And we'll try and hook up next week again for another edition of Stock Car Radio. But if you can't get back to us, make sure on whatever kind of device you have, check out motorsport.com. I'm Alan Taylor. And Stephen Cole Smith, you have a great time out there at the NHRA races.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody. It is Stock Car Radio. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.